This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to 90 Day Fiancé WTF Podcast, a weekly hangout to talk about what the fuck we all just watch on TLC's 90 Day Fiancé. I am Nadia, and with me is my co-host, Lon.
Hey, Nadia. How's it going?
Lon?
Yes.
You say, don't play no games, but you play all of us with your free concert.
We got finessed.
I don't know if I got the lyrics right. It's really an earworm. Like, I haven't been able to get it out of my mind. It's very catchy. All his songs are catchy. My husband till this day is still singing, "I'll Be There For You."
I'll be there for you.
Yeah.
Come on, baby girl, I'll be here for you. Girl. Yeah.
So the cat's out of the bag, right, Lon? Soulja Boy is married, but not to Kimbali.
Wait, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so our friend / previous podcaster, Mariam, sent us a link to apparently an Instagram post that shows, not really a montage, but, you know, like the multiple slides of him, his wedding ceremony. Yeah, his wedding ceremony with someone that's not Kimbali, someone who looks local and is, shall I say, gorgeous and
good for him.
Age appropriate, maybe.
Good for him.
Yeah.
So he stopped trying to con American women. Pretty much, right?
You don't play that game anymore.
Yeah, because to me, he was the one that was predatory in each scenario. Like, I mean, to me, it was obvious baby girl Lisa and now Kimbali are just not, they're just not his type. There's a reason why he's choosing these women here.
Would you say they're his muse? They're not even his muse, right? Well, Lisa was, because that song, "I'll Be There For You," is that for her? He wrote that for her, remember?
I mean,
Kimbali don't get no song, though. I feel bad for her.
She got the sneak peek sing. She got the sneak peek single for 90 Day Fiancé.
She got
exclusive.
Right. She got that private performance. Yeah. So it turns out he's married. Congratulations, Soulja Boy. Congratulations, Usman. But yeah, this whole thing feels like we've all been frauded, because it was a lead up to his new single.
Yeah.
Like you said on the Twitter, you know, we all been playing checkers. He's been playing chess.
He's been playing chess. We got played. But with that said, well played. Well played, Usman. Well played.
Clap, clap, clap.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and I mean, for Kimbali, I'm pretty sure she was sad about it. But when it ended, it looked like she had her doubts anyway, still, even after the song and all that stuff. And I didn't completely agree. I thought she was being manipulative in her own right. Mm. Another thing I like tweeted out when she's like, maybe it's a mind game. Well, to me, she was the one playing the mind game with the empty threat and saying, this is over, but prove your love to me. She's acting like she's going to leave and she doesn't care. And then all of a sudden she gets that text message and she goes, Oh, what's this about? And then she's excited all of a sudden. Get the hell out of here. I thought it was done. So what are you excited about, right? Like, I thought it was over.
I already knew she would fall back into it once she saw the setup and then the private concert. the serenade, right? He serenaded her. So I kind of knew that, oh, she's going to be all fangirling all over again.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Yeah. But hey, I guess we all know he's married. I don't know.
I gotta see that. I must have missed that post.
Yeah, I got it this morning and I clicked on it and I saw the whole clips of the ceremony and it was really cute. He looks happy. Like I said, the bride looks beautiful.
How recent do you think that was?
He just posted that not too long ago.
It might be
today US time and maybe yesterday Nigeria time or something. I don't know.
He had to wait, I guess. There must have been some kind of, yeah, some NDA that said you can't release anything that's going to spoil it. And then now that the episode's done where she's like, you know, I still have my doubts. He's like, all right, we can do this now. Whatever.
I don't think he followed the NDA. Maybe he doesn't give a shit because, I mean, he already won, right? Like he sang that song. We all know about the single Zara.
Yeah.
He did his promo already. That all of us know his songs now, so he wins,
right? He was talking to his friends, though. He said something when they were all, well, what are you gonna do, and then he said something like, I have to think what will set me free in this life. When he said that, I was like, that? Yeah, he did. And I think I don't know if that was scripted or not, but it was a good line in that, what's gonna make you happy, you know what I mean? Is it really worth it? If you do have some kind of play at this or some con or whatever, is it really worth it? Is it really worth it to be with like Gimbali, right? Like, how do you really feel? Are you going to really sacrifice and give up and, do you know I mean, all the things you have going for you to come to America and be with her or whatever? Like, what exactly is going to set you free, Usman? And I'm glad he found it.
Yeah, good for him. I mean, now I'm thinking about if he'll get invited to the tell-all or even if the tell-all is going to be filmed with him, because does it matter now? Like,
right. I would still want to see him there.
Yeah, I do too. But I feel like how long more can they stretch this?
Yeah. And what would they talk about? Like,
right.
Now that he's married, what's he going to do? Bring his wife?
And yeah.
The charade's up, right?
Like, right. The jig is up. We all know it's all over the internet.
Yeah.
I don't know what else TLC can come up with to make us believe that they are still a thing, right? They're not. And as far as I'm concerned, I'm over it.
Yeah.
Game over.
I don't need to see Gimbali. I don't need to see her on the show.
Yeah.
That would be two couples then missing, right?
That would be Alina and Galip. And I guess, I mean, I'm pretty sure they'll still be invited. You know, Soulja Boy and Kimberly. But again, like, I won't be interested to know what they have to say because
potentially three missing, because Mike and Ximena could also like be uninvited. We're just speculating here, folks.
Yeah.
After was revealed with Mike and all that stuff.
Right. Or Mike and Ximena will be on and Jasmine will pick a fight with Ximena in Spanish. And then somehow Mahogany will chime in all with that translation. Man, we're giving too many ideas here to TLC. Gotta get paid. All right, speaking of getting paid or not getting paid, hey, did we talk about the fact that Jasmine said she earns $3,000 as a teacher every month?
We didn't.
Panama. I mean, I don't know what to say about that, but I guess that's a good salary, even though I think right
now. How much of it is taxed? Is that net or gross? Right?
Yeah. Yeah. Things to think about there. But does it even matter now that, you know, it looks like Gino and Jasmine are so in love? Honestly, this is the first time where I thought they were both really cute. You know, the way she talks about him. It just feels so genuine. And the way he cried during his one-on-one interview about her, I feel like this is truly a couple. I don't know where they stand right now. I've not Googled them. I've not like searched for spoilers, but I hope they're still together.
They're definitely an odd couple, but when they have their moments, they have their moments. Mm. And I'm glad you brought that up, because I thought that the scene too, where she was crying and telling Gino that she loves him. That's like the nature of love at when it's tough and you have no explanation other than how you feel, right? Yep. It's not because things are happy and things are going well and you're just like, oh, I love this guy. Like things are fucking tough for them right now, but there's just something where she can't leave and she doesn't want to give up. And that scene really did make me feel some type of way. I identified with that scene only because I know what kind of love that entails, where like things are shitty, things are going to shit, and like the relationship is shit, and like people are telling you this is all wrong, but like you love the person and you're just like, I don't want to give up on us yet. Right. So I really identified with that. I mean, the proposal was, it was a proposal and it was in the rain, which made it kind of romantic, but it didn't impact me the same way that like when they were trying to work out exactly what was going on, Gino wasn't talking to her. She knew that he was hurting. And even though she was pissed and she had her own issues, she's like, I got to make this right. You know, I got to be the person that's got to come up to him. And it hurts me to know that he's hurting, you know, and she made the first, I guess, move to like patch things up. I really like that. And I know what you mean by like this scene was, you could actually see that they have a real relationship here.
Yeah, it's very heartfelt, very genuine. Yeah. And the proposal was cute, even though I don't know why for the life of me, the umbrella was distracting to me because one of the, I guess we call it the pokes. One of that was poking out. And
the leg of it, right? It was coming out of the
thing. That was distracting to me. And the fact that he presented the ring backwards and I was like, oh my God.
Oh my gosh.
Are you proposing to yourself?
And the thing is too, I thought TLC financed the rings. I don't know. Like, I just remember it's almost like The Bachelor and The Bachelorette when they pull out the ring. It's always like a sponsored person who does the diamonds and stuff. And they do a close up so that you get the name and the quality. I always thought like it was like that. And I was like, they couldn't do that for Gino.
No. I mean, Lon, maybe you remember something back in like the earlier seasons, but I've never seen sort of like an impressive diamond engagement ring throughout the 90 Day Fiancé universe.
I think I'm just getting my reality TV mixed up. You're right, because remember that guy, he asked for what's her face's money, or he asked, hey, can I get $900? And she said, And she's like, what do you need it for? I don't trust you. And
he borrowed money to get the engagement ring.
So I think you're right. I'm just getting my shows mixed up.
Because I was thinking too, like, what other reality show do they sponsor the ring? And Lon, maybe you know this, but do they even sponsor the ring on Love is Blind? Because they all had to propose, right?
Yeah, I'm not sure. Like, I'm not 100% sure, but I think they go ring shopping. I don't know what goes on behind the scenes. The only significant thing I remember about Love is Blind is in the new season, somebody brought their mom's ring, which was like...
That means that these folks have to put up their own money to buy the ring. I mean, that's my theory. The one show that I think the ring was paid for was this Netflix show called Say I Do. It's a very romantic show about couples who always wanted a dream wedding, but it never happened. And they are already a couple or they're already married with kids. And the show has all this like it's almost like a Queer Eye type of situation where they do, one of them is a chef. So he caters the wedding food. One of them makes the wedding dress and the suits, and the other one is...
They get like some dream team together.
And they do go ring shopping. And usually the groom will not be able to afford a more expensive or a nicer looking ring. So the show would be like, so we all gathered together and we thought we'll get you this ring that you've been looking at. You know, so that's one of the shows that I know paid for the ring. Yeah, I believe. I mean, like, when it comes to reality TV, you sometimes don't know what is the actual cost, right? Like those reality TV where you win a car or win a house. Is it really yours? Are they paying like half of it? Like those reno shows too. Like, are you really paying for the reno, or is the show putting up the money for you? I feel like a lot of times people might be paying for their own reno. It's just that it's done by a celebrity renovator or whatever, right? Like, So, sorry. I totally digressed there. Or I totally digressed there. I apologize.
That was me who... I started that with the whole ring thing. Yeah. But that's because, like, for me, you can almost tell when it feels product placement deep, is what I mean by that. Yeah, when they do it on The Bachelor and The Bachelorette, maybe some people are caught up in it.
Yeah.
But for me, when I see it, and like they do the extreme close up of the diamond, and then you can kind of see in the box like the name of like the company and stuff. Yeah. I'm just like, man, that's fucking total product placement, dude.
And then
it
and
doesn't then feel genuine.
The commercial cuts to like Jared's or
Kim's or something. Yeah.
That's when you know, right? Well, this is
yeah, dude. And they go shopping at the guy's store, and he's like, "I've got the perfect ring for you." And I'm like, "Dude, this is totally paid for, man. Come on." Anyways.
Yeah. So anyway, Jasmine posted something after the episode aired, and she reiterated how she didn't really care so much about the diamond ring because all she needed was Gino.
Oh. Mm. Yeah. Aww. It screams Gino about the ring.
Yeah, it definitely screams Gino. So I like that she's very self-aware and she's receptive of this whole thing, because I think a lot of folks commented how like she was not impressed by the diamond. And I know she mentioned it. She said it out loud, but maybe deep down, you know, she really appreciated.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I don't think she wanted to ruin the moment too.
True.
Yeah.
True, true. Speaking of ruining the moment, Memphis can get over the prenup thing, huh? Ruined her own bachelorette pre-wedding party or something. Like, I was really sickened by that, because here's a bunch of strangers getting together for you to throw you a party. And for people that have had the privilege of having a bachelorette party, it's hard to get people to organize something for you. Like, they have to be willing. You know what I mean? Like, she's in a foreign country.
Yeah.
And someone that she barely knows threw a pre-wedding party for her, along with what, spa, with a hammam bath or something.
Yeah.
Horse ride to the bathhouse or something.
These like rituals and traditions and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
Her timing couldn't have been worse.
Oh my God, totally. I was so pissed at her. I'm like, girl, you ain't got no house. Sit your ass down.
And if it's a post-nup anyway, then like you would just bring it up afterwards.
Right.
So like
what, yeah, totally ruining it.
Yeah.
Anyway,
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was gonna say I have some spoilers though.
That was a total downer. And was that his sister that was there translating?
Yeah.
Like Rowia. She was disgusted.
She was disgusted. Yeah. She was like Nelsie, Mike's good friend, after she heard how Ximena described him. Yeah. Rario was not having it too. She was like, "What's up with this paper thing? Like, why?"
It was offensive.
Yeah, like why is this heifer like so determined to get you sign this? Does she love you or the paper? And that's why I've been saying too, is that this whole prenup thing is such a foreign concept, because for Muslims, like all these things are built in. Women in Muslim marriages are very well protected.
Mm-hmm.
It's a built-in clause when you go through a Muslim marriage, which it looks like that's what Memphis is going to go through in the next episode. If they get a divorce, which apparently they're no longer together, he can touch his stuff. Yeah. If not, any stuff to begin with in the first place.
They're not together.
Yeah, that's what I read. So apparently they had a baby.
Wait.
And they divorced.
Wow.
I know. I don't know what to believe anymore, because remember last week we just talked about them getting married.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was reading Reddit and apparently people kept saying like, yeah, they're no longer together.
Interesting. What? That's going to be an interesting tell-all right there.
Right.
I wonder what that's going to look like.
Yeah. Two more episodes, I guess, before the tell-all.
I knew they shouldn't have though.
She rushed it.
Mm-hmm.
I really think she rushed it. He should have met her kids first. She should have taken the time to learn his communication style, or taken the time to establish a smoother communication with him.
Mm-hmm.
Like learn his language or get him to speak, I don't know, better.
Yeah.
I mean, I hate to say that, because it's like, come on, he speaks decent English. It's just that maybe it's not good enough for you to communicate
right,
on a deeper level, you know.
Even the whole prenup thing, if you're really serious about the prenup thing, then wait, then push it back and then get a real prenup.
Yeah.
Don't like rush it so that you can get a postnup. And you know what I mean? Like all the signs were there saying, this isn't the time yet. Like, you guys need to pump the brakes. Right. So I don't know.
So Lon, what if I were to tell you that Memphis is a mental health care professional?
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised. Well, I knew she was in the medical field.
She's a nurse practitioner.
She's a nurse practitioner
in, oh, health, and mental health.
In mental health. Okay. Yeah. So, I mean,
with one-star reviews.
With one-star reviews? Are you? That's not a joke.
Yeah. The internet found out.
Ew.
I'm just, folks, I'm not making shit up. This is on the internet. I'm just reporting it for y'all. I'm doing the research for y'all. But apparently, Memphis isn't the best nurse practitioner out there.
Oh no.
I know. Especially in the mental health space. You gotta be.
This was game, this was before the show though.
This was
it's not like people being vindictive, right?
No, no.
Oh, I don't
no.
like her and we're gonna give her one star.
Some of the reviews are very old. Okay, let's give her the benefit of the doubt. She might be new to her field too. So I just feel like it's a lot to put yourself out there being a mental health nurse practitioner. Because people are now going to like really pick apart how you behave.
Right.
And then they're going to be like, oh, so you're a mental health nurse practitioner. Like, and this is how you behave or this is how you handle your relationships.
Right.
Maybe it's a bad look. I'm just saying maybe it's a bad look, you know, especially if you're trying to like start your career off on a good foot. Right. Because wasn't she devastated about not passing the board or something? The board exam on her first try.
Right.
You know, I'm just saying like being on a reality TV show, it puts a bigger spotlight on your career, I feel.
I think too, though, if you're going to be, if you're auditioning for something like 90 Day Fiance, that you kind of know that you're abandoning. Do you know what I mean? That you're, that.
That you're abandoning your career?
You're like, looking for a change is all.
I
don't think anybody that's ever been on the show has gone back.
Like Jasmine.
What? Yeah, just any. Yeah, like Jasmine.
She's no longer a teacher. I'm
like
pretty
Big Ed, like whoever. Right. You know what I mean? You have a different life post 90 Day Fiance. Hmm. Like whatever that life is. And that's why clout chasers get on it. Yeah, I mean, it's just one of those things that you there's different opportunities at this point. So I would venture to say that maybe she was looking for a change and that she didn't care.
Yeah.
About, you know, the her medical profession or whatever, mental health profession or whatever at this point. Like she's going to be on the show. She's looking forward to the changes that are going to be brought about. She's going to take advantage of the next 15 minutes. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Wherever that leads.
That's a good perspective. Like, I never thought of it that way because I think there are quite a number of people that are still doing what they're doing. But you're right. There's also a huge faction. I wouldn't say huge, but there is a faction of folks that signed up to be on 90 Day Fiancé that pivoted to something else other than, you know, what they've been doing other than their day job, I guess.
Those spinoffs.
Right. Yeah.
Sign me up for a spinoff.
Yeah. Yeah. Like up till now, I still don't know what Asuelu and Kalani do. You know,
I don't even know what they're up to.
Yeah. Well, apparently Asuelu recently blocked Kalani on social media. But
what?
I don't know if that's fake drama or what, but yeah, I don't know. Anyway, we're not here to talk about 90
Day Fiancé. No.
Well, I was going to say, who's ready to run like Paul? Apparently, Mike. Right? The way he tried to exit from the crew. Into the alley. And I think he was probably having a mental breakdown or something. I feel bad for him. But at the same time, it is kind of comical the way he tried to jump over a curb and try to run away. And I'm like, well, first of all, maybe remove your mic.
Yeah.
Like turn off your microphone and then make the run for it or something. But that was an ugly exit. But let's dial it back first. Let's talk about Jimena's mom and how she sort of sided with Mike.
Mom and sister.
Mom and sister. You're right. You're right.
Yeah.
Do you think the mom was just looking out for the gravy train, or is she genuine about keeping Mike around? I don't know. I mean, what do you think?
I think, okay. So I definitely believe Jimena is in a different mind state now. Mm. She sees a completely different future. Like, the future Jimena sees is like modeling, boob job. All right. 15 minutes. Let's take advantage of this whole thing that's going to come and all this stuff. But I think her sister and mom are still like, dude, this is a safe bet. The way the mom said it was, she doesn't think rationally. I think were the words that she used, right? Like, he's a good guy. It's obvious that he cares for you. Just take it. But Jimena's head, and Jimena's head isn't there. And Jimena's like, I'm going to be a model and I don't need a man. So I just think the mom and sister are trying to be, are thinking more realistically. Like, what the fuck are you? You've been a, I don't want to say this, that maybe she hasn't been, but what I was going to say was like, they're probably thinking, dude, you've been a fuck up, like, up until now. Like, here comes a guy who's nice, you know, loves the kids and wants to marry you. This is the safe bet. What are you doing? You're just going to continue fucking up, right? So I think that's where they're coming from. But Jimena, she has a completely different take on all of it.
Yeah, I honestly don't think that it should give him comfort that he is Jimena's first serious relationship. Mm. It probably means that she's not ready to settle. She has a lot to go in terms of like in being in a serious relationship. And sometimes when you're that age, you don't know what's good for you until you don't have it anymore. So, and we've talked about this before too, where she's only what, 24? She still wants to party. She still wants to do what she wants to do.
She ain't trying to settle down.
Yeah, she ain't trying to settle down. So,
yeah.
Yeah. Ugh.
And she keeps bringing this up like, oh, you know, I don't like it when you wake, when I wake up in the middle of the night and you're staring at me and stuff. Like, okay, I get it. That's weird. But like when you're looking to marry somebody, this is almost like normal, I guess. Mm-hmm. It's so trivial. It's like now she's making up things to be disturbed about.
Right. She's holes.
Yeah. Sure. She just she's grasping for straws at this point. So the whole like waking up and then he's staring at you. Now it just seems like you're making up things to be mad at. That's not worth like not marrying someone over. Do you know I mean? Like there's so many bigger things. And if you're gonna spend the rest of your life with somebody or you plan to, like waking up in the middle of the night and them admiring you while you're sleeping is like such a small fucking thing. I already knew. I was just like, dude, she doesn't want to be with you. Why are you still in this? He's still fighting for it.
Yeah.
It's so obvious. And I think too, though, I like how she kind of proved that it's not about his money.
Mm.
Right. Because we've been harping about that for the entire season not the entire season, but we were definitely saying that she could be in this just for financial gain and he's paying her bills and stuff. And she's like, take everything. I don't need you or your money.
Is she saying that out of spite though? Because what if he really is being very vindictive and he did take all their stuff or he decided to stop paying rent? I mean, I'm just thinking she might be saying that just to say it instead of actually processing that, because once the money stops, you know what I mean? Like she does not know what that looks like until the money actually stops. And I mean, who knows? She might be getting income somewhere else.
Yeah. I think she's just at the point where she really doesn't want to be with him. Yeah. And she doesn't care. She doesn't care if it causes a financial burden. She's so past that. I don't want to be with you. Take everything. Like she's at the end of her rope, basically.
Right, right.
I guess what I want to say is, why do you even want to be with someone who doesn't want to be with you when she's proven this? Why are you still fighting for it? And on the trailer, he's like, well, you can't tell me to leave. I pay rent here. On like the trailer for the next episode. I'm like, well, why even go that far? If she doesn't want to be with you, Mike, why do people fight so hard to stay with someone who doesn't love them? That just doesn't make any sense.
Lack of self-love.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we kept saying this, right? Like, she's not into him, and yet he's not getting it. Because in his mind, he's thinking like, oh, there's still a chance. You know, there's still a chance. If I take her wedding dress shopping, it might rekindle our romance.
Yeah.
If I wine and dine her, she might be happy. And or if I threaten to leave, she might sleep with me, which they did, I guess. But
even that was like,
yeah.
Yeah. And this episode was just a struggle. The point where he's like confirming it and she's like, I do not. I was just like, Mike, just shut up, dude. Leave. Just leave, dude. Yeah.
That was have just, some self-respect.
Have some respect. Yeah, that was so tough, dude.
Oh, well, I can't wait for the tell-all for this one. So contentious.
Yeah. We still have how many more episodes?
I think, so this is episode, 14? And then there's 15 next week. And then I'm guessing after that is tell-all.
Okay. Because the trailer for the next episode, that looked like it was going to be crazy. Where yeah. It's like, I'm not going to fucking leave. I pay rent here.
Right.
Like, what? What are we watching right now?
He's not wrong, but at the same time, too, like, come on, be the bigger person and just get a hotel somewhere.
That's just so weird. Like, you know what I mean, though? Like, oh, so what are you going to do? You're just going to stay there with the kids? And
you're going to sleep in that, what is that, car bed, the toy car bed?
Just because you pay rent there? That's still weird. Cut your losses and fucking go, dude. That's just so weird, dude.
You know, cut the supply and just leave, and then she'll feel it.
Yeah. And where is she getting paid from? I don't know. I don't know.
Probably from the show, but
this mysterious alternate source of income.
Yeah. Well, she's already on what? OnlyFans, right?
No, that's right.
Yeah. And maybe Cameo. I don't know. Anyway.
Happy birthday, Nadia. It's Ximena.
Dude.
Oh, shit. No.
Just no. Please don't give me a Ximena cameo. That's sick. That's a fucking prank, dude. Ew. I don't know what's worse, a cameo from Ximena or a cameo from Ben with his wonky eyes. I'm sorry. No. I don't mean to say that. But I mean, I feel bad for Ben. He talk about being left behind, the poor guy.
That entire thing was comedy.
Right. He's right, just left him. I have to say, it's very gangster though.
Yeah.
I don't know. Okay, does he deserve it? Maybe, but I took offense when she said you're different from the chat, because if anything, Ben has been consistent. Ben's feelings for her has been consistent. Yeah, he's acting weird and creepy and predatory, but he's been like that on the chat too. He's the one that's been saying, I love you. And you said, I love you back. And you're the one who's different from the chat. I mean, from the photos to your treatment of him in person. I took offense to what Mahogany said when she said, oh, you're different from the chat. Yeah, sure. He's very persistent, but I think he's been like that throughout the entire time you both have been chatting. Maybe it felt more stifling in person because of that whole, like, he sent her like a 10 pages worth of text and she didn't reply.
Mm-hmm.
I feel bad for him, but at the same time too, I think this shouldn't have happened. And Ben is also another person that's not getting the hint.
Right.
He's still determined because according to him, God placed her in his heart. So
yeah,
it must be something. She has to pursue it. Yeah, I don't know what else to say.
This is one of those cases where this has all the trappings of like internet dating, right? You're different. You're just different on the phone. Not just on the phone. You're just different online.
Yeah.
You're different on social media. You're different on apps. You're putting your best foot forward at all times. You're presenting what you believe is the best version of you to this other person. And when they're both doing that, they're both not getting the real person behind the screen.
Mm-hmm.
And now they met and now they're in person face to face. And I think what Mahogany meant was all these weird immaturities that he's displaying. They didn't come out like when she was talking to him on the phone. Like, you know, I mean, and these are things that can only be seen when you are face to face. You know what I mean? Like, you don't get to be stood up on the phone unless you just don't answer texts and stuff. But he actually stood her up. You know what I mean? Like, he stood her up. There, we were supposed to meet for breakfast. What happened? Yeah. I went for a walk to clear my mind. My parents were fucking there. That's so immature, right? Like, little things like that, and how he doesn't take responsibility. Because, you know, when you both are romanticizing each other over phone and stuff, you maybe forget to just ask these questions. And when they were face to face, she realized it. She's like, okay, well, you keep telling me this and this. Is what about your responsibility in all of this? Mm-hmm. Is it every girl you date? Every girl you date is at fault when the common denominator is you. You know what I mean? Like, well, yeah. Can you tell me more about where you fit into this? Well, I don't think I need to fucking answer these questions. You know what I mean? it becomes different. Mm-hmm. Right. So it was more Ben acting like a child. And I think he definitely fucked up. But for me, what was so funny was, I don't know where I stand on it, because I could see both sides. I would hate for someone to just like leave me high and dry without saying anything. And if we were expecting to like leave together, and then I'm just like, wow, that's fucked up. You just left me here. So I kind of get that too. But I just thought it was funny when like that guy with the sunglasses answered the door. Answered the door. Could you imagine if you were expecting like mahogany?
Yeah.
He's like, and he even asked for her, bro, leave.
Yeah, dude. Once you open the door and it's not her, that's, yeah.
Is mahogany here?
I am mahogany.
You made it. The thing is, if she was, would you want to know? Right. If she was, hypothetically, if she was, would you want to know?
Yeah.
If she hooked up with someone? Know. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. If she hooked up with somebody else, like, yeah. At the point that some dude answered the door shirtless with sunglasses on, I'd be like,
sorry, bro.
I'm leaving. Yeah. I'm leaving, and I'll get the explanation later.
Right.
Yeah. To me, that was just so hilarious.
Yeah. And I want to expand on what you said, Mon, about romanticizing. I think too, Ben expects something out of Mahogany that Mahogany is not able to give him. For example, when he wrote that 10-page long text message, right, professing his feelings, pouring his heart out, he expects something back.
Right.
And to Mahogany, she's like, what the fuck is this? Let's just talk in person. And to him, that's like an insult. He's getting a no answer, or he's not getting a response.
I can't get a text back.
Right.
After everything I wrote. After
everything
to
I've
you,
done.
The poetry that I sent you.
Yeah. Like, I can see how he feels a certain type of way. But at the same time, too, I think Mahogany felt that he disrespected her parents by not turning up for breakfast. I don't know if that warranted leaving him behind at that desert resort or whatever you call it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I can see both sides. I just feel like they're both not on the same page for sure.
Yeah. She was already over
him. She checked out a while back.
Right. Didn't she even just tell him to his face, like, I just came here to deliver the letter.
Yeah.
Right. I wouldn't even fucking be here.
Yeah.
I'm just here to give you this.
I didn't even want to talk.
Yeah. I'm just here to give you this. And then she dipped out. Like, I'm leaving. And that was it.
Yeah. All right, Lon. So we've come to the end of our discussion of 90 Day Fiancé Before the 90 Days, Season 5, Episode 13. Damn. I don't know why I've never kept tabs of the episode.
I don't.
It's the blur to me. So, what is your WTF moment?
WTF moment, and only because it was so funny, was the guy answering the door. The guy answering the door for me was peak comedy of the show. Like, this is why I watch 90 Day Fiancé. Don't get me wrong. Like, I know we talk about why we watch, because we like the experience of seeing the 90 Day experience.
Yeah, the struggles of a real couple.
Yeah, when it comes to the hot mess reality TV, like the guilty pleasure of it all, this is why. Some fucking stranger showing up shirtless with sunglasses on when you're expecting like Mahogany to answer, and you're just like, whoa, what the fuck?
All right, so my WTF moment is finding out that he is right back cost as much as Jasmine's engagement ring.
That's a right? good correlation.
That was
there,
a very yeah. expensive write back.
I get ours. Though, yeah.
Yeah, $250 or something. Almost the same cost as Jasmine's engagement ring, I guess.
Yeah. Was that to rent a car or to get a like an Uber or something? Not an Uber, but to get a rental, like a taxi or something?
I think that was a taxi slash Uber because it came with a driver.
Mm, okay. Right, yeah. right.
Because if it was a rental, he would have pulled up and and Ben would have gotten in the front seat or the driver's seat. But yeah, it doesn't look like it. It looks like a driver pulled up and loaded the luggage for him and everything. So
somebody on Twitter was like, he couldn't get a ride with like the camera crew.
I know, right? He couldn't get a ride with the people that are filming
it. Can we work something out here?
Yeah.
Nope, hey guys, you're on your own, buddy.
Yeah. Yeah,
you're on your own, buddy. We're leaving.
Hey, per the contract you signed, you're on your own.
Yeah,
good luck.
We do not interfere. We just film it.
I think that's the whole premise of the reality TV thing that they sign. It's that, hey, if your life is not threatened or if you're in a bind and your life is not in danger, we're not going to interfere. That's the same as, you know, like Amazing Race, right? Like those people right. running all over the world competing, like the cameraman can't help them.
Yeah.
Like, oops, you can't get a ride. Well, sorry, I'm still filming you. My ride is behind
me. We got to film it.
That's my WTF moment.
Poor Ben.
Poor Ben, indeed.
Did you? Did we talk about this last week? The drunk driving or the DUI? We did.
We did. Yeah. It turns out,
or whatever.
Yeah, it turns out he's only serving 15 days of community service.
Eh, slap on the wrist.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening, WTFers. If you love the podcast, give us a 5-star review on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts. It is appreciated and really helps us out. You can also find us under listener support on anchor.fm and donate for as low as 99 cents or on Patreon at WTF Extra. You can engage with us on email, Twitter, and Instagram at 90dayfiancewtf. We especially would like to hear what your WTF moments are each episode. We might even shout you out. Don't forget to like, share, and follow the podcast.
Lon, what are you watching lately?
I am watching Bad Vegan. I just started it, and it looks good. True crime, I think. I don't know. I don't even know what to call it. Is it true crime?
I would think so. It's about fraud, right?
Yeah.
So it's by the same folks that did the Fyre Festival documentary.
Didn't know that.
Yeah, I forgot to mention it just now, but yeah.
What's on your radar?
Yeah, so I took a break from reality TV and just finished Is It Cake, which is a game show on Netflix. It's really cute. Mikey Day from SNL is the host of the show. Give it a watch. It's just a mindless game show, and it makes you crave for cake, I guess.
I like those shows though.
Right?
Like there's one, I don't know if it's called, is it Just Desserts, or there's this other one where some guy makes crazy candy concoctions. Some of them float in the air and you're supposed to try to copy it. I don't know. But anyways, I like those game shows too. The food.
There's another Netflix like competitive reality show that's about this French chef that makes all those like really fancy dessert, and it's similar, but this game show is very much like a bunch of bakers making cake that looks like the actual object. The premise of the show is they'll have a panel of judges that has to guess which one of that object is cake.
What?
Yeah.
I want to see that.
Like the bakers on the show make like,
it's supposed to look real.
Real. Like
you can't tell the difference. I want to see that.
So it's a really cute, you know, like I say, mindless game show. Just taking a break from all the dark documentaries that we've been watching.
Right, right.
So, yeah. And I think I just finished. What else did I just finish? No, that's it. That's pretty much it. And I just started Love is Blind season one.
Yay.
So I think we're ready to talk about it maybe next week or something, right?
I'm down. Yeah.
Yeah, so much to unpack, so much to rant about. So I can't wait to talk to you guys about it. But in the meantime, that's all from us. Thank you for following us on the socials. Thank you for engaging us. Thank you for liking our posts, our memes, our tweets. Really love engaging with you guys. You know, obviously, kudos to Lon for all the amazing posts and memes. He's the brainchild of all of them, actually. Not most of them, all of them. But yeah, you know, we appreciate all of you and thank you for listening to us.
5-star review on Spotify. Don't forget to do it, folks.
All right, folks, till next time, be kind to one another. Make love, not war.
Make love, not war.
And bye-bye.
Bye-bye.